You want it?
No, I can take it.
Good morning.
We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting of May 22nd, 2012 to order. Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, and good morning. For the agenda today, we can remove under old business conditional use number 1897 Russell V. Banks.
Okay.
And we can amend executive session, removing job applicant qualifications and land acquisition, leaving personnel and pending potential litigation.
Okie dokie. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
So we won't be voting on the old business item?
Not today, no, ma'am.
Okay.
Have a motion.
Question.
I'll give you a second.
Need a second. Now I have a question on the motion.
Why is Banks being taken off?
Mr. Cole asked you to be. It's his district.
Okay.
And we have some new developments that we'd like to look into.
I have some questions, too.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of Vance that was on there.
Any other questions? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. In our packet, we had the minutes of May 15th. Any questions, corrections, or concerns?
Perfect.
If not, they will stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first is from Girl Scout Troop number 1485. I wanted to take a moment and thank you for your extreme generous grant toward my travel expenses for my upcoming Girl Scout destination trip to Costa Rica in July. Your grant helped me to achieve the funds needed to attend this science service trip, and I'm extremely grateful. Again, thank you very much to your generous donation, and it was addressed to Ms. Deaver, member of Sussex County Council, and it was by Katie Meyer of Girl Scout Troop 1485. Next piece of correspondence is addressed to Ms. Deaver on behalf of the participating high school students, her advisors, and entire planning committee. I thank you for your generous donation of $250 to the Delaware Envirothon, sponsored by the Delaware Association of Conservation Districts. We managed to raise $28,695 during the past year for the Envirothon program. Your donation helps us provide effective and exciting hands-on environmental education experience that fosters sound decision-making, problem-solving, and critical thinking skills for all participants. Rest assured that your donation will have long-lasting positive impacts on the lives of the many high school students who participate in our program. We are proud of the number of the state's youth who have participated in the past years and have gone on to pursue advanced education and degrees in environmental-related fields of study. Again, thank you, Michelle Jacobs, chairwoman of the Delaware Envirothon. And then the last letter is, dear friends, thank you for your sponsorship of the Jefferson School's 5K CrossFit race to benefit the Chad Spicer Memorial Scholarship Program. Since its inception, the race has progressively grown, and this year was no exception. We had the largest turnout ever. Your donation will help us reach out to a student who otherwise would not be able to attend our school. Thank you again, Constant R. Hendricks, head of school. And that is all, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Moving along, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you. Our first item of business today is the employee of the quarter, Rodney T. Marvel, Jr. We're going to recognize Rodney. Rodney Marvel, Assistant Director of Environmental Services, employee of the second quarter winner. Rodney began employment in 1993 with the South Coastal Wastewater Facility as an electrician. The following year, he was promoted to an electrician, too, because of his knowledge, skill, initiative, and abilities. Due to hard work and dedication, he became an operations and maintenance division manager in 1999. Rodney is currently the Assistant Director of Environmental Services and has served the county for over 19 years. He is responsible for independent judgment and decision-making in performing managerial and administrative, professional and technical work of significant complexity. Rodney is always available to handle the wide variety of issues that the division is responsible for. His work ethic and professionalism is why he's been nominated as Employee of the Quarter. Rodney was nominated by Heather Sheridan, Director of Environmental Services, and several of his coworkers. Congratulations, Rodney. We have a plaque and clock to commemorate and a tribute.
And the clock is so you'll be at work on time.
The tribute reads...
Right up here, Mr. Marvel.
I thought Mr. Wilson usually came up and did this.
No, I want to make sure I do this one.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
And you do a great job for us, seriously. You got the photo ops here.
I lost a coin toss.
I'll get you a picture of Saint.
He said I was too short.
I lost it, too.
I'll go ahead and read the tribute. Be it hereby known to all that Sussex County Council commends Rodney T. Marvel, Jr., Sussex County Employee of the Quarter, second quarter 2012. Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Rodney Marvel on 22nd May 2012. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President.
And you can want to say a few words. I'm sure you're never lost for words. I mean, but you want to say a few words. We appreciate you going back to work.
Okay, the second item of business, we have three board appointments for the county council to consider today, two on the Planning and Zoning Commission and one on the Board of Adjustment. I have my first recommendation for the appointment of Marty Ross to the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is Mr. Phillips' appointment, and I have a motion if you would like to consider.
Please, sir.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Martin Marty Ross to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission effective June 1, 2012, for a term of 3 years.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson, any question on the motion?
I have a question. Is he going to be able to get to the meetings because he hasn't been able to get to all of them in the past?
He was a national director of the soybean board that had... required time. He informed me of that before I originally appointed him. He has since retired from that position, and it should not be a conflict in the future.
Thank you.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. The second consideration is Mr. Wilson's appointment on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that consideration is for Mr. Michael B. Johnson. I'll read the motion. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Michael B. Johnson to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission effective June 1, 2011, for a term of 3 years.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, and the last appointment is also Mr. Wilson's for consideration on the Board of Adjustment, and that is for Mr. Brent Workman, and I'll read that motion. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Brent Workman to the Sussex County Board of Adjustment effective June 1, 2012, for a term of 3 years.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay. Next item of business is the administrator's report. Thank you. Item number one, National 100,000 Homes Campaign. Sussex County is partnering with the Homeless Planning Council of Delaware as part of the National 100,000 Homes Campaign. Campaign is an initiative to find homes for 100,000 vulnerable long-term homeless individuals. Delaware's Registry Week will take place June 2nd to June 8th, where 300 volunteers will take to the streets to survey and identify our state's most vulnerable homeless. This is truly a collaborative intergovernmental effort supported by homeless service providers, nonprofits, private organizations, and public agencies. Delaware's campaign still needs volunteers and sponsors to make this effort a success. Please contact the Homeless Planning Council of Delaware, if you're interested, 302-654-0126. Item number two, it's with great sadness that we inform you that Delphia Dell Daniels, county pensioner, passed away on Wednesday, May 16, 2012. Dell worked as a computer operator, too, in the data processing department. She was employed with the county from June 1969 to December 2006. Services will be held this Saturday, May 26, at the Clarence Street Church of God, Clarence Street, Seaford, Delaware, with a viewing from 11 to 1 and funeral services beginning at 1. Finally, county offices will be closed on Monday, May 28, 2012, in observance of the Memorial Day holiday. In addition, the Sussex County Council will not meet on Tuesday, May 29. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Sussex County Council will be held on June 5, 2012. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. And next, the fiscal 2013 budget presentation. Mr. Lawson's very first shot.
Thank you. Give us a moment, please.
Tested this earlier. There we go.
You can leave that one off if you want to. This right here.
That one.
That one. You got it, brother.
Good morning, President Vinson and members of Council. As required by Delaware law, today I respectfully submit for your consideration the fiscal year 2013 proposed annual operating budget. The FY 2013 proposed budget was developed by the Budget Committee, consisting of the County Administrator, Finance Director, the Budget and Cost Manager, and the Director of Accounting. The FY 2013 budget again presents a challenge in that revenues remain flat and have increased at only a modest level for the general fund. As compared to past years, revenues continue to see little to no increases, which we believe represents the new norm for the county. Thanks in part to the Council's leadership and fiscal responsibility, along with conservative budgeting, the Council will continue to operate without raising taxes or increasing fees, even though revenues remain stagnant. As I began to prepare my first county budget, I embraced the accomplishments by the previous administration and the current Council while encompassing core objectives and goals that I want to achieve as county administrator. The county's budget was prepared with the following goals and objectives. Prepare a balanced budget with minimal increases. Support the priorities of long-range and operational plans. Maintain a AA+ strong bond rating. Use technology and streamline and automate business practices. Enhance the county's virtual interface to improve customer service and provide a great level of service to county residents. As you will notice, this year's budget document has a new look and format. It's our hope that the new format will be easier to use and reference. The FY13 budget represents a collaborative effort between the Budget Committee and our department heads. Department heads' requests were very responsible and reasonable. I want to personally thank everyone for making my first budget a little easier by demonstrating the understanding of the economic challenges we all face together. In a time where municipalities across the country are filing for bankruptcy, public pension funds are drying up, and states are raising taxes to operate, including some of our neighboring states of Delaware, Sussex County remains fiscally sound by only spending what we have, a novel thought indeed. Sussex County is at a crossroads and faces the difficult task of preserving the many attributes that make our county such a wonderful place to live while attempting to stimulate the local economy and spur job creation. At the same time, we must look to the future to prepare for growth and increased demand on county services. The operations of the government through technology and automation will continue to evolve to efficiently and effectively meet the requests of the residents of Sussex County. Thank you for this opportunity, and we'll begin our presentation. This is the first slide of our FY 2013 budget. You'll notice that the picture in the slide is our airport runway out in the Georgetown Airport, symbolic of our path forward, onward and upward. It's also relevant to this presentation because we will begin the construction work on the first 500 feet this summer, with the second 500 feet in a few years. As I mentioned, the objectives used to develop this budget are listed here: sustainability, modernization, and efficiency. These are the core themes we use to produce the budget we are about to present. Within these core themes, you'll see specific objectives listed, including support the priorities of long-range and operational plans, update county's virtual interface and promote staff training, as well as streamline our processes. There's an emphasis on improving technology and customer service. Sometime in the near future, our citizens will be able to do work with Sussex County and not have to drive to Georgetown. It is our goal that they can do the interactions that require them to come to Georgetown now from their work or their office, their home, their living room. This budget reflects those objectives in helping improve customer service. Specific 2013 budget highlights. This budget features the 8% tax rebate that council approved last fall. The citizens will see these savings in their upcoming property tax bills that will be sent later on this summer. You'll see the specific numbers that are a result of that tax rebate on this slide. As I indicated, growth is stagnant. You'll see we're predicting less than 1% general fund budget increase. Compare that to the current CPI of 2.7%. Citizens will also see a decrease in their sewer assessment charges as a result of the recent bond refinancing and the savings that were incurred. We continue to fund critical public safety grants, including our fire and ambulance service, local law enforcement, and state police. We also continue to contribute to our libraries and have an aggressive government capital plan of nearly $13.2 million, mostly for the airport and library projects. This next slide highlights our personnel. This budget features a 2.25 COLA for staff and a 1.125 COLA for pensioners. In the recent past, the economic conditions of the county have not permitted a COLA every year. So in effect, we are playing catch-up. All the while, it costs our staff more money to fill their cars up with gas or buy groceries. There's also a merit increase. We took a hard look at merits, made sure that they were justified when they were requested. There's no changes to any of our benefits package. We will continue to offer 15 holidays, 13 paid holidays on select days, and 2 floating holidays. And as requested by council, we will take a look at the pension program and benefits that are offered to our new hires. We have that study in place. We are going to review the changes that are recommended and present that to council at a future date. Okay. However, it makes sense to implement those programs January 2013, so it coincides with the calendar year. So here are the numbers. Our total budget, as I indicated, general fund has a very minimal percentage change of less than 1%. Capital projects governmental fund sees a 52.71 increase, but mostly that's our airport and Greenwood libraries. Enterprise funds, which are sewer and water operations, see nearly a 3% growth, and that is consistent with the growth that we have seen in sewer and water in the last year. And then our capital projects enterprise fund, there's a 55% reduction, but that's the result of the federal stimulus funding and the federal grants that we've seen in the recent history. We're coming to the end of those grants. All told, we're seeing a difference of 14.04% in our total budget. Okay, let's talk about specifics. For our general fund, as indicated, we're only seeing an $84,000 increase in our total operating budget. As a result, we'll see no fees or tax increases. The number of taxable property assessments increased by 1.39%, a reflection of our growth. Meanwhile, our intergovernmental grants has reduced nearly 14%, again, a reflection of our federal grant numbers, NSP and CDBG funds. Overall, revenues have leveled. Our building and building permit and zoning fees are up, while our record of deeds and building inspections are slightly down. Again, a reflection of the economy and what we like to refer to as our lethargic real estate market. The county's primary funding sources remain our realty transfer tax, 28.5%, and our property tax at nearly 27%, followed by the charges that the county receives and the funds that the Constitutional Roll Office take in. Unfortunately, that's 17.6%, and the driving factor for that primary source is the number of foreclosures the county continues to see. We wanted to share this slide with you, a historic vantage point of the realty transfer tax, to show you just 7 years ago, we had a realty transfer tax of $36 million. That has corrected itself back down to roughly $13 million, which we are referring to as the new norm for county operations. We believe that this line will continue to remain at this level. And as you will see, we're conservatively budgeting this year's realty transfer tax lower than last year's to remain within the philosophy of this council and this county government. I'll now turn it over to Mrs. Gina Jennings, who will give additional information.
This next slide shows the housing-related revenues besides realty transfer tax, and you can see the same trend as you did in the previous slide. In 2006, we brought in about $15.7 million compared to the $6.2 that we have budgeted in 2013. That's a 61% decrease, or $10 million. But if you looked at 2012 and 2013, you're only seeing a $100,000 difference. This next pie chart shows the expenses, what makes up the $46 million. Over a quarter of our expenses is the paramedic program at 27%. The next largest is the grant and aid at 8.1%. There is an increase from the previous year, about $348,000, due to an ordinance where we have to contribute last year's surplus to the open space program. Next largest department is finance, which also includes the assessment, accounting, and treasury departments. And the fourth largest expense is libraries, which makes up the 11 independent libraries, 3 county libraries, and the bookmobile. This is a new graph this year. This shows how one county tax dollar is spent. What we did was we took all the county expenses and we netted out the grants and fees that we collect for those expenses. So, for example, for public safety, we get the 30% grant from the state, so that would be backed out of our paramedic expenses. So this leaves what the county tax dollar is spent on. So 50 cents on that dollar is spent in public safety. The next one is 14 cents on that dollar is in libraries. And the next three, we have code enforcement for 8 cents, which includes dog control. We have 8 cents for housing rehab, our community development department. 7 cents is special services, such as the public waste, solid waste, public works, administration. And general government is 5 cents, which is just the operations of the government, county council, legal, and finance. This next chart shows our expenditures. As you can see, it's the same line as it is our revenues. So we've had to cut to stay in line with the revenues with the realty transfer tax. So in 2008, we had about $59.3 million in expenses. In 2013's budget, we only have 46.4. That's a $13 million decrease in our expenses, which is about 22%. And again, as Mr. Lawson said, we're only showing a 0.18% increase over fiscal year 2012, where inflation is over 2%. So we're holding the line. Now I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Roth to talk about our grants.
I'm going to give some highlights on our grant and aid. Right now they're at $7.4 million. This includes 68% for our public safety, which includes our fire and ambulance, our local law, and our state police grants. 11% is for our wastewater, and that includes $140,000 for our sewer assistance and $735,000 for the front foot assessment cap. The library grants are at 7%, or $576,000. Again, this is funding for our 11 local libraries. It does not include our library tax, which is another $1.4 million that we collect in tax and distribute to them. Our ag and land is at 7%. This does include the open space, like Mrs. Jennings spoke about earlier, as well as we partner with the Soil Conservation District for another $115,000, includes $75,000, which is mandated by Delaware Code, another $40,000 for drainage. And the Ag Extension, we fund $69,000. That's the same level as last year. Community development, our community grants are at $500,000. One grant that did increase in that section this year is our housing assistance grant. We've increased it to $70,000. That's $20,000 more than last year. We also have money in this year's, in that section, for Returns Day. Public safety grants are at $20.8 million. Of course, the largest section of that is for our paramedics at 12.4. This includes funding for over 100 staff members, which operate 4 full-time and 1 part-time paramedic units. We also included additional funding this year for the Deltech program for our students out there. We hope to recruit some local individuals to be hired here as paramedics. Emergency preparedness is at $2.8 million. This includes our emergency prep staff, our EFC dispatchers, our communications department, as well as our LAPC. The objective for this department this year coming up is going to be to look at their emergency operation plan and see what they need to do. And one of the objectives in there was to work with the school districts and enhance our shelter operations in case of emergency, as well as upgrade our audio and our visual communication systems out of the EOC in case of emergencies. Additional public safety, again, is for fire and ambulances at $3.3 million. Again, it's at the same level as last year. And our local law enforcement, again, we're funding our 40 state troopers at $1.7 million. These are in addition to our state allotted numbers. And we're also increasing local law enforcement this year to $25,000. This is back to the level it was back in 2009. Our community development grant this year has decreased greatly. Again, like Mr. Lawson said, it's because of our federal grant money. It's at $1.7 million currently, but that's reduced by $1 million from last year. CDBG is at $880,000. That's down $100,000. And our NSP, our Neighborhood Stabilization Program, is at $405,000. This is down over $1.1 million. Again, we serve over 100 families here in Sussex County, but we still have 1,000 more waiting on our waiting list for help. I'm now going to turn it over to Mrs. Webb to do our capital projects.
Okay, I'm going to cover the capital projects for both the general fund and the sewer district, and then the sewer budget and the rates. Capital projects fund for sewer and the general fund are outside of the regular budget in its own separate budget. These funds are used to do projects of a long-term nature. They are very expensive and usually involve over a year to construct. It's a long-term planning tool of things that we want to do down the road, of some things that we're looking at doing for growth in our county needs. The resources in these funds include grants like FFA or DEMA or state revolving fund loans or USDA loans, or available funds that we have on hand, like a realty transfer tax that we use to fund these projects, or connection fees that we've collected that are collected just for this purpose, for growth. And in the general fund, continuing on with no debt. Pay as you go. For the governmental capital projects, the general fund projects, in 2012, our budget was $8.7 million. And this year, we're recommending for 2013, $13.2 million. And this is a $4.5 million increase, due mostly because of the airport 500-foot extension, as we've talked about. It will start this summer. And at the airport, one of our goals is to continue with our improvements with stormwater management and the lighting and pavement improvements. The county public safety buildings. This year, we're looking at spending $2 million on some county public safety buildings. First of all, Station 106, one of our medic units. We are going to purchase a site and build on that rather than rent. It is has been our approach over the last few years to take a look at buying and building and getting a settled site rather than renting for these our medic units. Emergency communications building, we're going to partner with the state and perhaps putting up emergency communications building out at our industrial park. The libraries, Greenwood Library expansion for $3 million, and this will be half funded by the state, and planning on some improvements at Milton and South Coastal. County building improvements. This is where we're shifting our focus a little bit, as Todd mentioned, on technology, where we've seen a decrease in the departments in the number of staff. Over the last 2 years, we've gone down 45 staff, where some departments have gotten less busy, other departments have gotten more busy for IT. So we're looking at our staffing needs. We're going to see what our best available use of space is for the public with the new ERP system coming on. We want to make this building user-friendly and take advantage of everything the ERP system has to offer, for instance, like a one-stop shopping. So when you come to pay your bill, you're on the first floor, and you're not going all around the building. More user-friendly. So we're looking at doing conferences rooms, perhaps moving departments around to better suit their needs. Some of the other projects are the wrapping up the enterprise resource planning software that goes in online July 1st in accounting, and different modules will continue on as the year goes on in the next couple years with different departments. Property acquisitions, airport and landfill, whenever we feel that we're able to look at the property and it would suit the needs of the county, and the Woodland Park improvements in Seaford for a passive park. For the sewer districts, has its own set of capital projects, and these are projects that are not in the sewer operating budget, but in a separate budget. It's not like a truck or a pump station rebuild. It's new expansions and new districts. This budget saw a decrease of $21 million from last year's budget. Was $47 million down to $21, and that's because of the stimulus projects that occurred in the last 3 to 5 years. If you remember, Johnson's Corner, Angola, Oak Orchard expansion, Inland Bays expansion, all came in a flurry of years in the last 3 to 5. We had to spend the money in a certain time limit. So those projects are pretty much done and spent, and as a result, we're $21 million reduced in the enterprise, which is sewer capital projects. And on the five-year capital, looking at this is what we expect to spend. We use that as a tool with engineering for funding and long-range planning. We're recommending $165 million overall in the next 5 years, and this is down $7.5 million from last year. So we'll go on to sewer districts. All the rates for the sewer districts are in your budget in the back. We didn't feel the need this year to just have 4 or 5 pages of or on the screen of all the different sewer rates, because we have service charges, assessment rates, and connection fees. The highlights of the sewer district, continuing on in the service charges, working towards the uniform sewer rate. When we introduced it, we thought it would be a 3 to 7 year project, and we're in our third year. We're working towards it. We are making progress. This year, we only have 7 different service charges rates versus plus 25 3 years ago. We are recommending a decrease in the assessment rates due to the bond refinancing we had in February. We had a very successful bond sale, $61 million, and some districts saw 7 to 12% reduction in their debt service. and we're going to pass this on in the form of a reduced assessment rates. 3% increase in EDUs and 3% increase in the sewer operating budget. Very small, but this is due to the three newest districts that came online within the last year. Johnson's Corner, Angola, and Oak Orchard expansion had a small impact on the sewer budget. 56% decrease in the sewer capital projects, as you just saw, due to the stimulus projects being done. System connection charges, we're recommending increasing 2.7% for inflation so that our cost of replacement is keeping up with the cost of the equipment. We're continuing to fund the 100-foot cap threshold from the general fund, which is approximately $700,000. And this year, just for Mr. Cole, we're going to continue with the rate study and look what we can do to uniform the connection fees and the assessment rates to even reduce the complexities.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
I will. Absolutely.
Like a bad cold.
On the expenses, the admin and general expenses for the sewer districts increased 12%, and this is mostly due to the increases we had in our pension fund this year. The operations expense and the maintenance expense was a modest 1%, not much there. The capital expenses increased 20%. We had been putting off a lot of capital projects and some purchases in the last 5 years as we were trying to see where this economy was going to be and didn't want to put a lot of major things in the budget. But there are some things, 70,000 users, there are some things that we just have to replace and purchase. Keep our sewer operating. For the assessment charges, these are the charges used to recover the cost for the bond payments for the district, the building of the district and improvements. These are the districts where rates were decreased from the bond debt. There are 18 of them. 20 districts will see rate reductions. A couple of the districts where the bonds were closed this year, we got a better rate in the financing because the market's better now than when the estimated rates went out 5 years ago. So we took advantage of the reduced rate in the bond funding. For the service charge, we are recommending that the service charge is increase $8 a year, as we've done in the last 2 years for the uniform rate theory that we're doing. And this is the uniform rate we're projecting, recommending to be at 262 this year. And those districts listed will see an increase of $8, which is $2 a quarter. Long Neck will increase $15. It was very low rate when we went into this project, and there's five districts that won't see any increase at all. Dewey Water, we're recommending an increase of $13 as we had an increase in our water purchase contract with the city of Rehoboth. So, in summary, you can see this is a different approach than we've had for the last few years in the budget. And the way it looks, we're combining the budget letter and the numbers, easy to use, easy to read format. There's a narrative and the numbers all together in one place. The rates are in the back. Budget will be online today, correct, Chip? The public hearing will be June 19th for public comment, and we can do by the website.
We'll be doing email comments through the morning of the hearing from now until June 19th.
June 19th.
And we have to adopt this by...
June 30,
right? Okay. Is there any time for questions or anything?
No questions.
No questions? Okay.
That's not on the agenda, was it?
The questions
we go right on to. Now, of course.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And we do have copies here of the budget.
Public.
If anyone in the public would like a copy.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I got a couple. I just made a couple notes. On the rate study that you talked about with the sewer districts, you will be in that rate study looking at possibly doing something with the front footage charges, like
pricing
or doing something to average them out.
We're going to try. Whether we got to go back to Black and Veatch, who originally did the recommendation back before 25 sewer districts exploded, it is the goal. First, we're going to do the connections. It's going to be the easiest one. The assessment... There might be some legal issues with...
Well, no, I'm not saying do away with it, but I believe you could possibly look to you know, averaging them out in, say, in a subdivision.
Oh, so we
that everybody,
won't do away
neighbors
with it.
Are all paying the same, or, I mean, there's different ways to look at it. So I hopefully there will be time for some of these experts to look at that.
I can't tell you how easy the budgeting is, the financial statement preparation on the engineering staff and the accounting staff when we combine the sewer budget to one. And the more we can stop the complexities, then the better off
more
we
efficient.
Are.
With, yes, yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying
to do. And yeah. We're up to 70,000 users now. So
that's,
I mean,
my goal also.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. I had another one here. Do you project any impact because of the growth with all these sewer districts and all these rates, and now all of a sudden growth is now, like, we're not seeing the growth that we were counting on each year into these districts, bringing more funds in. Do you see any impact in the next couple of years with the lack of growth?
Well,
sewer districts.
The rates are set based on the existing users.
Right.
So at least we don't project growth into the rates that are set. So when the rates are set, that covers our debt service that we have, and we don't have to count on growth.
Okay.
Growth is just, you know, what gives us some money in the bank, and that lets us keep up with our improvements so our budget's not so okay. high.
Yeah, what I'm hoping to avoid
There's some planning studies.
Right. What would be nice if we could avoid any, like, major spikes.
Mm-hmm.
In certain costs for some other reason, and I want to just make sure that there's enough money there that we, you know, or some cushion that if something happens a year down the road or 2 years, we don't see some, instead of $8 a year, an increase, you know, $50 or $60 or something like that. So you think that we're pretty much protected from a situation like that?
I feel so, yes.
Okay.
In my experience.
And I just to refresh my memory, how many paramedic stations do we own now, Mike? How many of
eight.
Those facilities do we? I know we.
8 units.
8 in Nairobi.
I think there's a total of 12 facilities, including like the garage where we keep all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So we own how many now?
8 of 12.
8 of 12. Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't own all of them. No, we don't own all of them.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. How many actually are? I know we're buying a property this year, and a goal has been to start owning these facilities. How many do we actually own?
Three. We did the Laurel.
Right.
We did the Georgetown. Uh-huh. We're doing the Long Neck.
So,
three.
Of course, we got the West Complex where the office is.
Right. Okay. So, but three.
That is the trend.
Okay. Okay. No, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what that was, and. When somebody reflected the community development money and they said there's 100 households assisted, that's annually 100, or have we just been able to address 100 over the last X number of years?
That's what their average is
for a year.
100
a year.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because with foreclosures and the situation. All right. I guess that's all my notes, Mr. Vince.
Any more questions of council?
Oh, I have a question. I remember we used to allow a lot of our employees to take cars home, and we stopped a lot of that. But I one of my constituents has asked me about it. Do we still allow people to take county cars home, or is that something that we've totally stopped?
There are take-home vehicles, and I believe it is one of Todd's initiatives to jump right on.
Mm-hmm.
Press code policy.
You still take your car home?
Yeah.
I will.
Yes, currently there are vehicles that are permitted to be taken home. You will notice in this budget there is not one vehicle purchase in the general fund this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because times are tight still. Mm-hmm. And in the budget exercise, I made it a point that we need to take a look at our fleet management. And Hal and I have actually had discussions about that, and that includes the take-home vehicle policy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look into that closely.
I heard the Department of Energy at the federal level had like 15,000 employees, and they also had 15,000 vehicles. So that's not the case here.
I don't think that's the direction we're going to move to.
Yeah, we
want to make sure.
We really cut back on that.
It would be very popular.
And the other question is, I'm aware that the internet service out at Pat's Aircraft is not good, or it's very weak. And I understand that we've tried to get the provider to bump it up a little bit. You know, I'm wondering what we're going to have to do to get that done.
Well, I'm not familiar with the specifics, but I would be happy to engage both the provider and PATS to see how we can do that, and if there's other opportunities to help with broadband, we could look into that as well. I know there are several initiatives throughout the state mm-hmm. addressing that. So
very many.
I think it would be wise for us to be part of that discussion.
Good. Thanks.
Anything else from council? Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Thank you, Mrs. Webb, Mrs. Jennings, and Mrs. Roth for all your hard work.
Yeah, you do have to enter.
Yeah, we're waiting when you come back up here.